Pastor Larry Dumas.
Amen. If you would grab your Bibles and let's make our confession. Say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am. What it says that I am.
What it says that I am.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
I can have.
I can have.
What it says I can have.
What it says I can have.
Through my life.
Through my life.
God's glory is revealed.
God's glory is revealed.
By signs and wonders.
By signs and wonders.
It will not be concealed.
It will not be concealed.
And of this. I have no doubt.
I have no doubt.
For I am the spout.
For I am the spout.
Where the glory comes out.
Where the glory comes out.
Amen and amen. Well, open your Bibles with me once again to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. As we're using this passage, verse 1 and 2, as the foundation or the anchor for this teaching that we're doing and engaged in at this time, on the foundation of faith toward God. The foundation of faith toward God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1. Paul says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Amen. And so from this passage there, at the end of verse number 1, Paul speaks of the foundation of faith toward God. And as I said, this is what we are currently engaging in and involved with at this time. Go with me from here. Go with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. And last week we started getting into this, and so I want to kind of continue with it for a little bit longer. In Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and the devil came to him, and after Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he came to him with one of his temptations, and he said to Jesus, and this is what we want to pick up here in verse number 1 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4, verse 1. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, we're making the attempt to connect what Jesus is revealing here in verse number 4 with this teaching on the foundation of faith toward God. Because we've gotten to this place where we've revealed to you that that at the foundation of faith, where we say that I believe, or when we say that especially if we're saying that I believe God and I'm trusting God, that at the foundation of our faith, God has to be there. And so we considered the reality of our existence here in this natural realm, and we came to the conclusion that when we are talking about establishing a faith in God, that a lot of people struggle with this concept, because when they think of God, they're thinking of someone who is someone that it's very difficult for them to relate to, because he's God. Amen. You know, he's beyond them. He's above them. And it's hard for them to comprehend who he is, what he's all about, and so forth. And so they struggle with establishing a foundation of faith toward him. And so what we shared, we went through several passages of scripture to show you that when Jesus came into the earth, he did not present God as Jehovah, as God, but he presented him as Father. Amen. Oftentimes he would speak to his disciples and he would refer them or refer God to them as their Heavenly Father. Amen. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. And so, he himself, he got in trouble oftentimes with the religious leaders and the religious system of that day because he was presenting Jehovah as my Heavenly Father, my Father. I, my Father, are one. They wanted to pick up stones and stone him. And so it is through this relationship with Jehovah that we need to establish, and the basis of that relationship is to relate to him as our Father, because that's the way that he relates to us, as his kids. Amen. Now, of course, let me just interject this, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong understanding of this relationship, because in John's Gospel, chapter number 1, now you don't have to turn there, but in John's Gospel, chapter 1, I believe it's verse 14, the Bible says that for as many as received him, speaking of Jesus, to them gave he the right, the power to become the sons of God. And so there is a worldly concept and precept that says that as far as our being human beings, that we are all children of God. And that's not true. Because if we were all children of God, then according to what the Bible says there in John's Gospel chapter 1, there would be no need for us to receive power, which means the right privilege and ability to become something that we already are. Amen. There would be no need for that. So that means that we cannot all be children of God, sons of God. We have to believe. Amen. We have to receive him so that we can receive the right, the privilege, the power, the ability to become something that we're not. Because if we're not a child of God, if we're not a son of God, then we need to understand, in order for me to become one, I have to receive him. And that's why Jesus said, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Amen. And so, again, that worldly concept, God is not, we talk about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of men, that we are all brothers and sisters before the Lord. Now, as far as being human, yes, we are all, because we all have the same blood. Everybody's blood is red. Amen. Amen. There is no black blood, white blood, yellow blood, blue blood, or whatever, unless you're cold. blood is blood. But when we're talking about this establishing this relationship with the Father, then we need to understand that he gives us, he's the one that initiates this relationship. And that's where we need to flow with that. And so in order for us to establish this foundation of faith toward him, having God in the foundation and base of our faith, we have to relate to him as Father, our daddy. Because, then we can comprehend the fatherhood relationship. Amen. Because that's that in one sense, that's an earthly thing that that we can comprehend. But then he's going to function and operate as Father on a completely different level than any natural father could ever do. Amen. Amen. Okay. So then we began to and we're looking at Matthew chapter 4 and focusing more so on verse number 4, again, where it says, but he answered and said, he, speaking of Jesus, answered the devil and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So Jesus is revealing here that that mankind is supposed to live their lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So God is always talking. His word is always proceeding out of his mouth. It's a continual, ongoing thing. So he doesn't speak once and say, okay, I'm done. I ain't talking to you no more. Yeah, see, that's how natural fathers would say. I already told you, I'm not going to tell you no more. If I have to tell you one more time, that's going to be it. Well, see, God is, thank God he's not like that. Praise the Lord. His word is perpetually and continuously proceeding out of his mouth. And so if we are supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we have to come to an understanding about what that word is, the impact that it's supposed to have on our lives. Okay, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 17. Jesus, again, is going to reveal something about the things that God that proceeds out of God's mouth. John's Gospel, chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at verse number 17. John 17:17, Jesus is speaking here. It's in red. That's how I know he's speaking. And he says, sanctify them. It's just him, Jesus, praying. And he's saying, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, we've shared before, and it bears repeating, that the word truth that is mentioned here twice, when he says, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. Truth is talking about that which is really real. It's talking about reality. Amen. When you're dealing with reality, you're really dealing with something that you should be able to confidently rely upon. You should be able to confidently adhere to this. You should have no problem embracing reality. Right? We shouldn't have any problem. And I would use myself in what I'm about to say, because for 19 years I lived my life based on my natural living. Everything that I did from a natural standpoint. It all had to align up with my five senses. What I saw, what I heard, what I could smell, what I could taste, and what I could feel, what I could touch. If it registered there, then I embraced that as being real. Okay? If I felt pain, I would say, man, that pain is real. If I felt good, I would say, man, this good feeling is real. If I was cold, I would say, man, this man, it's cold out here. Amen. If I stepped into a dark room and there was the complete absence of light, then I would say, ooh-wee, it's dark up in here. Amen. If I touched something that was hot, I would literally say, man, that's hot. You don't want to touch that. That's too hot. I burnt my tongue on many occasions trying to sit on hot coffee or hot tea. Amen. The sensation was telling me the heat of this liquid, this beverage, is real. Amen. When the reality of my existence was based on what was occurring in my life at that time, it was all natural. There was no spiritual activity in my life at that time. Amen. But then once I received Jesus Christ as Lord, then things began to change. The life that I'm now living is different from the life that I was living before. Because the life that I'm living now, I'm living this life by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Previously, I was an enemy of God for 19 years. That's the way that the Bible says, describes me. As an enemy of God, before I received Jesus Christ as Lord, I didn't want to have nothing to do with God. I may have went to church, but that didn't mean anything. Because, you know, even to the point to where when I got baptized, that meant nothing. I just went through the motions of getting into the pool and having this man dunk me under the water, bring me back up. I went home, changed clothes, got into a nice little suit, went back, as they say, received the right hand of fellowship, and became a member of the church. Left church, went out and got high again. See, so nothing changed, because what needed to change had to be on the inside. Amen. So everything remained the same because there was no change on the inside. Of course, you know, as the saying goes, change is not change until you change. So, you know, because I didn't change on the inside, then there was no kind of Christian activity on the outside. Unless I got around church folk. You know, then I had to straighten up, you know, just for, you know, amen. I just had to straighten up for a little bit. And then, but once it was gone, I mean, even to the point, I remember walking down the street, me and my friend, we were junior deacons in the Baptist church that I got baptized in. Notice I didn't say I got saved there. I just got baptized. Went in a wet devil, came out a dry devil. Or went in a dry devil, came out a wet devil. I was not saved. And I remember going down the street. And one of the old sisters from the church that I was baptized in, we passed by there. You know, we spoke. We said, hi, good evening. How y'all doing? And and I guess, you know, they said something to us. And I remember this one lady said, oh, yeah, those are some nice young boys. Nice young boys. You know, because they saw what we was doing in the church. They didn't know where we was heading, what we was going to when we got there. They had no clue about that. So my point is that I was not living according to every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. See, when I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, I am establishing a lifestyle, a way of living. Okay? And so when Jesus reveals here in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 17, he reveals that the word that God speaks is truth, it's reality. So now when I came across this verse and understood what was being said, I had to think back and really ponder the point of emphasis here. And that is that what God says is what's really real. And so now I have to sit back and I have to think, okay, now if God said this, then that verse is telling me that what God said, that's the reality, Larry, that you're supposed to live your life by. See, now what I'm doing here is literally I'm separating I'm establishing a dividing line between people who say that they're saved and just going through life in an ordinary manner, and those who say that they're saved and say, man, I want the very best that God has for me. I believe that there's more into it than what I've heard and perceived. I just think that there's more to this. So now I'm revealing to you, yes, there is more. Okay? But Proverbs 16:25, it says that there is a way. Now, when he talks about that way, he's talking about a way of living. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right, but the end of that way are the ways, various aspects of living that leads to death. So I cannot afford to go about my way thinking that what I know to be right is right, what I know to be wrong is wrong, when I have not considered what God's word reveals to say that this is what's really real. This is reality. See, many people have struggled trying to get free from sickness, from disease, because they have embraced the natural reality and they have failed to embrace the reality of what God said. See, God said that by the stripes of Jesus, they were healed. But because of what the doctor said, because of what medical science says, they used that to override what God said. So therefore, it was hard for them, and next to impossible, for them to receive healing when they're constantly believing something other than what God said. Well, that's what the Bible describes as unbelief. So can you see now that when I'm trying to establish faith in God, or faith toward God, faith toward the Father, it's going to all boil down to whether I believe or don't believe what he said. If I have this understanding that what he said is real, this is reality. See, as a born-again believer, I would almost say, how can I deny that? How can I, being a child of God, a born-again believer, or just having the title to say, well, I'm a believer, and not believe? The reason being is because the word of God, here's what Jesus says in verse 17 again of John 17. He says, sanctify them, set them apart. That's what that word sanctify means. He's saying, set them apart, separate them from this world system by your reality, by what you have declared, Father, to be real. And then he turns around and he clarifies what is really real. Your word is what's really real. The word, every word that proceeds out of your mouth is reality. So now that puts a burden of responsibility on me. Am I going to take what he said as reality, or am I going to set that to the side, ignore it, disregard it, and embrace something else in its place? And in doing so, I'm establishing a way that seems right to me. But again, the reality of that way is that is the end of it are the ways. It opens up the door for other aspects of living. See, I know this to be a truth. There was a way when, I don't know how old I was, you know, maybe 15, 16 years old, there was a way that seemed right to me. See, in order for me to gain weight, there was a way that seemed right to me. That if I started smoking marijuana, I would get hungry, I would eat more. That seemed right. It was a way that seemed right to me. But the end of that way, it opened up the door. I started smoking, legal cigarettes more so. I started drinking more. Chasing women more. It opened up the door. I started trying other illegal substances and whatnot. See, it was a door that it opened up. That one way opened up numerous ways. And the end of those ways was the ways of death. Those lies, those lifestyles that I was engaged in. The end of it was death. But thank God for Jesus. Everybody say, thank God for Jesus.
Thank God for Jesus.
Amen. Because it was that word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He presented reality to me. And I embraced his reality as my own reality. So I like I said, I have to consider, well, what did God say? In every aspect of my life, I have to consider, what did God say? Because when I find out what did God say, I already know, based on what Jesus said, this is what God said about this. This is what is really real. So I'm not, you know, if it doesn't make sense to me, that's okay. I've got to establish within myself. God said this. It may be hard for me to comprehend. It may be hard for me to swallow it. But I have to determine and establish within myself, this is what's really real. So then I turn around and this is what I used to do. Lord, help me. I believe that what you said here is true. I believe that what you said works. Now, what I'm experiencing in the natural, I need help overcoming this. Because there is these thoughts, there's this reasoning that's going on in my head that's telling me that what I'm thinking of and what is being presented to me that contradicts what you said is more real than what you said. Okay? And that, again, that's what unbelief is. Unbelief is not not believing at all. Unbelief is you're believing something, but you're not believing what God said. I'm believing something contrary to what God said. By the stripes of Jesus, he said, I am healed. The doctor says, Mr. Dumas, you're going to die in about 6 months. You got about 6 months to get your affairs in order because of this disease, this sickness that you have. There's no cure for it. So now I'm at an impasse. Do I believe what the doctor say? Or do I believe what God said? Do I want to live or do I want to die? Well, you know, nobody in their right mind wants to die. Amen. Nobody in their right mind wants to die. But then when you're given a death sentence, as it were, by medical science, then, you know, if you're in the natural, then you got to deal with that with the concept of what is hanging over your head. That dark cloud is real in your mind. If you don't get something that contradicts that. And so when someone presents you, well, look, Jesus, you know, there's a lot of people that came to Jesus that had sicknesses, that had diseases and so forth. And the Bible says that he healed every sickness and every disease among the people. He doesn't change. So look, if you just allow me to pray for you, to lay hands upon you, to anoint you with oil, I just believe that healing will take place in your body and that you'll be cancer free. You'll be sickness free. You'll be disease free. So now you have a choice to make. That individual would have a choice to make. Do I believe what the doctor says or do I believe what this Christian is telling me? Because, you know, I'm at an impasse. Do you want to live or do you want to die? Well, I don't really want to die, but what they're saying to themselves, but that doctor, he's a doctor. You know, this Christian is just a Christian. See, they minimize everything when it comes to the things of God. But see, what I've done is I purpose in my heart to elevate what God said to a place to where I believe God. When I say that I believe God, that's the reason why I'm able to confidently say that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. It's because I have elevated what he said above any and everything that's going on in this world, in my life, that contradicts it. So I shared with y'all last week how I had this pain in my left hip. And I elevated the word of God above that pain. And guess what happened to the pain? It left. and it never returned. Amen. Let me preach, brother. Let me preach. Hallelujah. See, and this is the reason why people struggle with establishing this faith toward God, is because when it comes to what God said, they're believing something contrary to what God said. They have not elevated the Word of God above their situation, above their circumstance, so they see no way out. But the Word of God will give you vision. Yeah. It'll allow you to see past your situation or your circumstance if you focus on it. Amen. See, that's what David told Solomon. He says, "My son, keep the Word of God before your face. Let it not depart from your eyes." So what is he saying? He's saying focus your attention on what God said. Elevate it to a place of prominence in your life, so that God's word has the preeminence. So whenever a situation or circumstance arises in your life, your first thought will be, what did God say? And if you already know what he said about that situation, then Holy Spirit is going to bring it up in your spirit. You'll hear it. Amen. He'll bring it up in your spirit. And he'll remind you, God, your father said such and such. Oh, yeah. And then you'll elevate that above your situation. Amen.
Amen.
See, that's why when we make during our session a little mini teaching on tithes and offerings, when I declare to you that we'll never, you know, I'll never be broke another day in my life. See, those are not just words that I'm declaring. I have elevated the Word of God relative to my financial situation above what my financial situation may be at that time. If it's contrary to what God's Word says, I've elevated it above what God said above that. And so now I boldly declare, I cannot be broke another day. I will not be broke another day in my life. Amen. So we share it with you that everything the Father speaks is either, number one, a command, number two, instruction, or number three, revelation of a kingdom perspective on life. Amen. Everything the Father speaks is either, number one, a command, number two, instruction, or number three, revelation of a kingdom perspective on life. Okay? Commands, now I didn't share this with y'all last week, but commands are for obeying. That's what you do with commands. Now, when I'm talking about commands, instructions, and revelation of a kingdom perspective on life, I'm in all three instances, I'm talking about words that are proceeding out of the mouth of God. Okay? He's given me a command. He's given me instructions. He's given me revelation on a kingdom perspective on life. So, number one, commands are for obeying. Go with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verse number 46. Luke 6:46, again, this verse is in red, so I know that this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So here, Jesus is saying, if you're calling me Lord, meaning I am the boss of your life, I am the boss of you. If you're calling me Lord and I'm the boss, why are you not doing what I tell you to do? Because commands are for obeying. Everybody say commands
are
for obeying.
Are for obeying.
So this is what, this is the question that Jesus is posing to us. If you call me Lord, why are you not doing what I tell you to do? See, now this is, like I said, it's separating those who just want to go to church and have the appearance of Christian, you know, Christian living, but aren't really doing what's required of them as Christians. They are comfortable just existing, just going through the motions. See, all they have is religion. You might as well be a Muslim. You might as well be a Buddhist. You might as well be a Hindu, because that's all that they have. Those people are more dedicated to their religion than what a lot of Christians are to theirs.
Amen.
Amen. So you might as well, you know, if this is all that you're going to do, you might as well go and be one of those. But then, you know, you're going to have trouble with them. Man, I never forget. You know, came across this one guy when I was overseas, and I mean, he came right out and told me. He says, "I am an inactive Jehovah's Witness." I said, "Come again?" He said, "Well, you know, I'm a witness, but I'm inactive right now." So I said, "Well, okay, you have to explain this to me." He said, "Well, I'm basically what he was saying, I'm saved, but I'm not living for the Lord. So I'm in inactive status. I got this big sign on my forehead saying, out of order." So therefore, God is not going to come in and come over and deposit anything in you. Because there's this big sign on your life that says, out of order. So, you know, when I walk up to a vending machine and the vending machine says out of order, I would be a fool. Anybody else would be a fool to go over and start dropping quarters into this vending machine when the thing is saying out of order, meaning this is not working. Whatever it was advertising to provide and produce, it's not going to give it to you. I don't care what you put in it, you're not going to get anything out of it. See, that's the way that a lot of Christians are living, because their lives are out of the order of God.
Amen.
Outside of the order of God. Amen. So see, they're just going through the motions. And so this is what Jesus is saying. If I am the boss of you, why are you not doing what I tell you to do? He's asking him that question. Okay? Still there in chapter 6. Just flip back over to verse 38. Or just go up to verse 38. Just an example of a command. A command is for doing what? For doing. Jesus speaks one word and gives us this command. He says, give. A command. Commands are for doing what?
Doing.
For obeying. Amen. So he says, give. Now, I'm just using it as a point of reference. You know, I can go to another verse where the Bible says, you know, speaking to Christians, it says, lie not one to another. So it's commanding me as a believer, do not lie one to another. Christians are having to be commanded not to lie. Christians are commanded, do not commit fornication. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Christians. But God has no problem to a certain degree with Christians, as they say, misbehaving or sinning in this manner. But when he tells you stop, he gives you a command. Don't do this. The command is not for you to, let me get back with you on that. I'm going to run it through, you know, my thought processes, and if it's convenient, and, you know, if it benefits me, you know, if I get something out of it, I'll think about going that way. But if not, you know, if it's not convenient, or if I see, man, if I lie, here in this situation, man, I can get by with this, this, that, this is all beneficial to me. But if I tell the truth, man, I'm going to lose out on a whole bunch. See, they don't even say, Jesus, help me. No, that's not even the first thought that comes to mind. They're still thinking about what they can get away with in the midst of their, or by way of their disobedience. So they know what the command is, okay? And the Holy Spirit is going to be bringing it up on the inside of them. If they're real, if they're sincere about living for the Lord, I believe that Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to their hearts. But when they purposefully choose to disobey, then that's what they're doing. They're establishing that out of order status in their lives. And Jesus is saying, now, if you call me Lord, why aren't you doing what I tell you to do? Amen. So commands are for obeying. Now we establish this, that instructions, this is the second one, instructions are for doing. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Second Peter, chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading at verse 5. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. Peter says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. See, now it says instructions are for what?
Doing.
Are for doing. This is what Peter is laying out instructions. Okay? So when I follow instructions, especially when we talk about the instructions of the Lord, that the Lord gives, it's always those instructions, my following those instructions, my doing those instructions will always lead me to something better. Always. Everybody say always.
Always.
So he says here, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, add to patience godliness, and add to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add charity. And then he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you will neither be barren, or that is to say unfruitful, or barren or unfruitful, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So see, how do I go about getting knowledge? This is what he's revealing. This is how you go about getting knowledge and awareness and understanding of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You add all these things. So he's giving us instructions, right?
Yes.
So if you want to know who Jesus is, what he's all about, then you add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if you do that, you won't be barren nor unfruitful. So it's not only going to cause you to have the knowledge, but now you're going to, it's going to cause you to be fruitful in that knowledge. So it's not just going to be up here, because it's going to be on the inside of you. Now it'll be in a place where you can manifest results. See, I'm telling you, this is extraordinary living. This is how we go about living extraordinarily. Not this same old everyday ho-hum kind of Christian living. Sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level to the ground. I'm always climbing the rough side of the mountain. Man, forget all that. I don't believe that's the will of God. When he didn't give me, when he has given me instructions that is designed to make things work and cause things to work in my life. And then again, you go down to verse number 10. He says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall fail from time to time, or you may fall from time to time, but you're going to get up. You'll never what?
Stumble.
You'll never stumble. You shall never fall. So stumble is what in the NIV? What does it say in the message? I don't have it pulled up here in front of me. The Amplified said, for if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. And I believe there's one version says that you will never, no, not ever fall. So not now, he says, if you do these things, this is, I'm guaranteeing my success to never fall, to never stumble. So that means that no matter what comes up my way, if I'm doing and following the instructions, then I'm guaranteed to experience success in my Christian walk. See, that's why I pray. Now we declared it at the beginning of our services. I pray that that people would come. They're hungry to hear the message of God's word that guarantees their success, that guarantees them getting from where they are to where God wants them to be. See, the guarantee is not guaranteed just by you coming in and having a seat, but it's guaranteed by you coming in, hearing the commands, hearing the instructions, hearing the revelation on the kingdom perspective on living, and then you turning around and doing those things, obeying the commands, doing and following the instructions. Amen. See, this is how you guarantee your success. See, when I go and you know should I do this? I mean, I won't do it. But should I go to and settle into a mode of operating relative to church going and all they're doing is preaching and teaching on things that will appeal to my intellect. I'm not being challenged to do the word. See, I'm not being challenged to live my life by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So therefore, at some point in time, some situation, some circumstance is going to creep up in my life that I'm not going to have an answer for, and I'm not going to have a way or means of getting a solution to it. So that means that I'm going to be left to my own vices. I'm going to find a way that seems right to me, not realizing that the end of that way is going to be open up doors that's going to be ways of death. I'm not going to realize that. But when I understand, I'm going to a church that's going to challenge me to do the word, that's going to challenge me to not just sit on my laurels, as it were, but to get up and be a consummate doer of the word of God. Because they realize, man, if I do these things, I will never, ever stumble or fall. Just got to follow the instructions. Amen. And then we said that kingdom perspectives on life are for embracing as the way to live. See that? When the Word of God reveals to me this is a perspective on living, and then when I receive that revelation, I come to the conclusion this is the way that I'm supposed to live. I embrace this perspective on life, okay? This is the way to do it. So, for example, go with me to John's Gospel, chapter number 10. I'm going to give you a scripture passage that's going to bear this out, but I also want to give you a natural example as well. The Lord started sharing with us about and giving me this insight. He gave me a perspective on life, kingdom living, a kingdom perspective on life. And he was talking to me, and which I shared with you guys, he was talking to me about the impact and the power of the seed, how I needed to change my perspective on the seed so that I can get and gain the benefit of the seed. And so he began to reveal to me, he says, listen, Larry, people lose change, or they discard small change because they don't see value in it. He said, but what I want you to do is I want you to change your perspective on what others deem to be invaluable, and I want you to change your perspective and put a value on that. So see, what I value now becomes so important to me. I don't neglect it. I don't just discard it or treat it as unimportant. When I value something, I care for it. I oversee it. I just give it my whole focus and attention. So what he was talking about was, you know, pennies that people discard. They know that they dropped some money. People do this all the time. They're in such a hurry trying to get through security at the airport. You know, they're pulling change out of their pocket, and you know they're all nervous and everything because they think they're going to miss their flight. The money drops on, you know, change drops on the floor. They say, I ain't got time, you know, to collect this up. I gotta get on this flight. So they leave all that on the floor. Other people come along. You know, they may pick it up, put it in their pocket. excuse me. Or TSA will just collect it and put it in a little kitty and turn it in. But this is something like this. You know, it happens all the time. And they discard it. Some people know that they dropped it. They see it, but they say, it's just a penny. It's just a couple of pennies. And they just discard it. They don't put value on it, so therefore they just leave it there. But then I come along because of the kingdom perspective that God gave, that the Father gave to me. So I come along and I began to gather up, and because I value what others consider invaluable. You follow what I'm saying? And the reason why I placed a value on it is because he gave me a revelation on a kingdom perspective for living. I embraced it as the way. This is the way I got to do it. I've got to change my understanding, change my perception on coins and whatnot that I see on the ground. It don't matter if it's old and rusty and dirty. Others may see it and step right on and say, I'm messing with that. That's a, you know, old nickel or old a penny. I'm fooling with that. You know, it's just a penny. Now, God said you got to change your perspective on this and see it from the kingdom perspective, and see it as a seed. So I changed. And so now as I'm going, I'm not going the whole time. I'm got my head down looking for pennies. No, I'm not doing that. I'm relying on Holy Spirit. If he points it out to me, I'll go and I'll gather it up. Several times it has occurred. I'm walking with someone. They see it, but I didn't. I don't, you know, say, oh, man, I missed. No, I didn't miss nothing. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit didn't point it out to me. It wasn't for me to pick it up. Okay? And so that came about, as I said, as a result of my embracing a kingdom perspective on life. So here in John's Gospel, chapter number 10, did I tell you all what verse? John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse number 10. Look at what Jesus said. Again, this is in red. Jesus says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Then he says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The Amplified Bible reads that verse this way. He says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came," speaking of Jesus, "that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." See, now he's wanting me to change my perspective on living, on life. It's a kingdom perspective. It's not something that I thought of. It's something that he's presenting to me. That the standard of living that he has for me is to live life. And this is the way that I was shared this. This is Pastor Dumas's version. That Jesus says, "I came to cause you to experience life, to live life that is super abundant in quantity. Life that is super superior, that is superior in quality. Life that is excessive, exceeding abundant above, beyond measure." See, that's a standard of living. That's way above what the world says. Larry, look, based on your gender, based on your race, based on your educational background, based on your skill level, we're going to put you on this level of financial income. Now, you don't qualify to go above that. So you're going to have to make do with what you can get. So you're not going to be able to go any higher than this. So now, if I rely on the world system, then I'm going to always be bumping up against that glass ceiling. Because I'll be able to see, man, if others are going beyond this, you know, well, why are they going and I can't? See, because the system has established you're a male, you're a black male, you have this education level, you have this skill level, so this is as high as you can go. Well, see, Jesus said, everybody say Jesus said.
Jesus.
See, this is another word that's proceeding out of the mouth of the Father. Jesus is declaring, because, you know, he didn't say anything unless the Father gave him something to say. So I can turn around and say God is saying this as well. The Father is saying this to me as well. But he's saying, "I came to cause you to experience, to have and experience life. Life that is superabundant in quantity, superior in quality, life that is excessive, exceeding abundant above, beyond measure." See, that's a kingdom perspective on life that I've chosen to embrace. That has nothing to do with my gender. It has nothing to do with my race. It has nothing to do with my education level. It has nothing to do with my skill level. Because if I can't talk, God says, I'll give you a mouth. Irregardless of what my limitations are, naturally speaking, God says, I'm going to give you a divine ability that will supersede your inability, called grace. So I don't have to rely on me. If I embrace this kingdom perspective on living, then I can always go way beyond what the world system says, this is your limit. I can surpass that. So therefore, in the kingdom of God, a ditch digger, as it were, can live in a palace. A mansion. What do you do for a living? I dig ditches. Well, how's that working for you? Well, you know, it pays minimum wage. It's hot, you know. So what do you do when you go home? Where you go home? Well, you know, I take my family out to dinner. Well, where do you go? Well, I go to some of the best restaurants. Well, how you do that on minimum wage as a ditch digger? Well, that's just a resource, sir. I'm operating on a kingdom perspective of living that does not limit me. See, you think that my lifestyle is limited to the work that I do, to the pay that I get. But I am engaged in kingdom living that supersedes that. And because my Lord Jesus came to cause me to possess life that is superabundant in quantity, superior in quality, life that is excessive, exceeding abundant, above this ditch digging job. So I don't rely on that. That's just a resource. That's not my source. My source is God. So therefore, what I'm experiencing in life goes way beyond. See, that it literally does, and it should not measure up. See, housewives, they don't have to say, well, you know, I can only do so much because my husband is only working. No, God's got other means. If we trust that the kingdom perspective on life that he's given us, if we embrace it, we'll see, man, I can go way beyond. And, you know, here I am. Yeah, I'm just a housewife. But God has given me an ability that I didn't have. That the world said, well, no, you can't, you know, you can't be bringing in six figures. And you just a housewife? How are you doing that? Because I'm not relying on the world system that says that as a housewife, I can only go so far. No, I'm a kingdom citizen. I have rights and privileges that you don't know about. And I'm aware of them, and I'm exercising my rights and my privileges in the kingdom of God. He's shown me, he's revealed to me a perspective, a kingdom perspective on living. I've embraced it, and man, it's taken me way beyond what I could ever ask or think. See, that's extraordinary living. Everybody's not going to get in on this. Sadly enough, I'm praying, you know, Lord, there's a lot of people in this city that needs to hear this. Man, I hope they get a hold of it. I need y'all's help. See, that's why you got to open up your mouth. You got to tell them, man, y'all need to come and hear this. This is just too good. I can't keep this to myself. Amen. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us the insight and the understanding of the word of God that we have received this day. And we covenant with you right now to be doers of what we have heard and not hearers only, in Jesus' name. If you're watching by internet and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we want to give you the opportunity to accomplish that right now. To do so, just pray this prayer. Just pray, Father God, I come to you now, just as I am. I ask that you receive me as your own. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe in my heart that you, Father, have raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life and the Savior of my soul. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, I want to be the first to welcome you to the body of Christ. And if you would scroll down from the viewer that you're watching the broadcast on, you'll see a place where you can leave us a note, a link that says for more info, contact us at houseofwitnesstwo.org. Click on that link, leave us an email, let us know who you are, that you prayed that prayer, that you received Jesus Christ as Lord, and also give us a means by which we can contact you. There is some information that we would like to place into your possession that will assist you with living the new life that you've begun as a result of receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. Perhaps you might be sick in your body, or you might be experiencing some level of torment in your life. Again, leave us a note. Let us know that that applies to you, and give us a means by which we can contact you. And if you are within a 100-mile radius of the city of Lubbock, Texas, we want to be able to set up an appointment with you to come out to your location right where you are so that we can pray with you the prayer of faith that James spoke of in James chapter 5, so that you can be free from the sickness, the disease that's attacking your body, and free from the torment that you might be experiencing in your life. Perhaps you might already be a believer and you're watching the broadcast. We want to thank you for tuning in. Again, click on that link. Leave us an email. Let us know that you are watching the broadcast and that it was a blessing to you. It will greatly encourage our hearts. This is Pastor Larry Dumas inviting you to join us again next week for another exciting time of ministry in the Word of God right here at House of Witness Transworld Outreach, where we are impacting our generation with the Word and power of God. God bless you as you go.